You're listening to a special edition series focusing on the power of improved internal communications. Understand the true cost of neglect. Learn simple concepts to more fully engage your team and see firsthand how these interactions can impact both productivity and the bottom line. This series is made possible by PDP Solutions, the leader in effective communication in the workplace. PDP, people-driven performance. And now, here are today's hosts.
All right. Welcome back to this final episode in our special edition series, Effective Communication in the Workplace. I am your host, Todd Schneck, joined, as always, by my friend and colleague, Louise Dickmeyer. Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I am well, Todd. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I can't believe we're at the end of this great series. We have a great show today. Before we go there, however, as we normally do, a quick reminder about why this series is so important.
Sure. You know, this series really has been focused on how effective communication really helps to propel a business forward and how it's such an absolute imperative. And we know through our conversations with many, many manufacturing CEOs that they're just kind of getting a sense of how they have to get their head around the people side of their business. So communications is a big part of that. Definitely influences levels of engagement, helps to retain their talent, and better empowers people. So we've really been shedding some great heat and light on those topics, and today we're really going to end this with a bang, no doubt.
No doubt. So as I said, great show today. You and I speak with Denny Dotson. He's a chairman and former longtime CEO of the Dotson Company. Our conversation with him, Lou, centers around how effective communication in the workplace does actually move the KPIs, these key performance indicators. So walk me through why we're speaking with Denny Dotson.
Well, you know, he is truly a pioneer and an early adopter. We're talking decades ago when his engagement and communication journey started. And as a CEO, as the listeners will hear, he really learned the hard way why communication is so very important. He made some assumptions that turned out to be wrong, and it really caused him to pivot in terms of how he communicated and interacted with his employees. And of course, fast forwarding multiple decades now, the Dotson Company is an extremely successful company. As a primary supplier, as a foundry, year over year, they're just very, very successful. And so much of it is driven by their positive relationship with their employees. So great story. It's inspirational. And I just hope that listeners can appreciate it and get their heads around it and actually take action like he did so long ago.
Yeah, Lou, I have to agree with you. I thought that was by far the most impactful part of our conversation with him was the story he told about the disastrous efforts to and how that inspired and motivated them to make some big changes. Yeah, and they're definitely ahead of the curve, right? Because I think when people listen to that story, I think it's going to sound familiar. I suspect it's a common tale, yeah?
Oh, I think so. But, you know, this happened back in the 1980s. And then, you know, the next couple of layers that it gets added on there is that because of Denny's commitment that he started back in the early 80s through that story that he shares, this is what gave rise to PDP Solutions. He wanted to create that platform, that software platform and framework so that his legacy, his culture that he'd created really had some sustaining power and or staying power. And so that's where the rise of PDP started from. So it's we're definitely bringing things full circle here with this conversation today.
No doubt. I also enjoyed the conversation with him around what he witnessed when they started to share their production metrics. And it was actually quite powerful.
It is. You know, it takes a lot of courage and boldness to begin to share financial metrics, other production metrics. You know, you want to make those visible to your front line. You want to make them actionable, but you got to be willing to get the numbers out there and make that commitment, because once you start sharing that information, you can't stop. And again, this was a bold move that Denny and his company made. And again, they're just knocking it out of the parks. They've got for industry metrics, they are absolutely superior around on time and their quality metrics and on and on and on. So like the saying goes that you can't manage what you don't measure. They're measuring and they're sharing and they're seeing extraordinary improvements. And it's just a great, great case study. for our listeners.
Absolutely. You know, and gosh, I'm still thinking about the conversation we had with Tom Cutler in episode 5, where we understand how many managers and management struggle with this idea. I thought Denny shared some pretty keen insights to his colleagues about how they can get their head around this and get excited about it.
Sure. You know, and that fear that manufacturing leaders have in terms of their ability or inability to communicate with the frontline. Clearly, Denny, he's totally embraced that and sees that incredible value. So yes, I hope others who hear this story truly want to follow in those footsteps and begin to adopt a more open, transparent, and sharing environment in terms of KPIs and news and information and across the board.
All right, Lou. So let's get to it. After the break, Lou and I present Denny Dotson. We'll be right back.
Are you a manufacturer plagued by high turnover, burdened with low employee engagement, stung by safety concerns, and generally losing the human talent war in a very competitive market? Say hello to PDP Solutions. PDP offers software solutions that changes the game in workplace communications. As PDP President Lou Dickmeyer says, companies seldom fully understand the deep connection between improved communications and moving the key performance indicators. She adds, it's exciting to watch when our customers move the needle. Check out PDP Solutions at pdpsolutions.com. That's pdpsolutions.com and learn how they can help you.
All right, welcome back. And as promised, we're joined now by Denny Dotson, the chairman and former CEO of the Dotson Company. Denny, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Todd. Appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you making time to join us. We're looking forward to the conversation. Before we dive in, however, take a quick second. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your background, and then give us a 10,000-foot view of the Dotson Company. What do you do? How do you serve your market?
Sure. I've been involved in this family operation since I got out of the Navy in 1972. So for 35 years, I was CEO of the company. And the company is a iron foundry, one of the real manufacturing type operations that are still in existence today. We produce at Dotson Company castings that go on trucks. About 80% of every one of the big trucks that you see on the highways today, whether that's the Class 8 haulers or the ready-mix trucks, we'll have at least one of our castings. We also produce castings for agricultural. Toro lawnmowers are a major customer for us, and we are a true jobbing company, having about 1,500 to 2,000 parts that we produce every year.
Outstanding. Well, it is certainly a great organization. And again, we're grateful for you joining us. So, Denny, you're aware that we're in our final episode of this exciting series, Effective Communication in the Workplace. And the goal in today's conversation with you is to just drive home this point about why effective communication in the workplace is so important and how it does, in fact, influence and move the key performance indicators. And so that's the agenda on our chat this afternoon. So let's start this conversation off by having you explain to us what motivated you to commit to effective communication practices, such as what we're going to talk about in this series. It seems like you were ahead of the curve. I've interviewed an awful lot of manufacturing CEOs, and not a lot of them seem to really get this. How come you were ahead of that curve?
Well, that's a real easy answer. I'm ahead of the curve because of an absolutely disastrous communication effort that occurred during the first years of my work at the foundry. And it was really a very specific incident. In 1981, there was a pretty significant recession at that time in the Midwest in the manufacturing called the Rust Bowl. And things were bad. A lot of were a union company, and a lot of the companies were asking the unions to do temporary wage reductions. And I had worked in the company for 9 years. I knew everybody in the company. I come in on all the different shifts, knew them, their families, their kids, and I thought I had a great relationship with them. And I asked the union for a 10% downturn, temporary reduction in wages, and they took it to the employees, and I was certain it would pass. It obviously didn't. That was the disaster. And 90%+ of the employees voted against it. And I asked the leaders then afterwards, well, why? What's wrong? What happened? I thought we were on the same page. And they said, you know, the company only talks to us when things are difficult. They never talk to us when things are going well. So when you talk to us when things are bad, we don't believe you. And step back and I think you're correct. And we immediately started a much more open dialogue. We weren't working every day of the week, so every Friday we had volunteers. Anybody would come in. We had spent an hour or two, as long as the people want, on question and answers. We brought in suppliers, customers, bankers, just explaining the operation of the company. After the meeting, we immediately wrote up all the question and answers and mailed it out to everybody's home. We did that for about 9 months. And at the end of 9 months, the real survival of the company was at risk. And I called all the employees in on a Friday afternoon, and I said, you guys are all worth it. There's absolutely no question you're worth the salary that we're paying you, but we cannot pay you. We will be out of business next week. We don't have the cash to pay you, and we're going to cut the wage by more than 40%. Now, we will keep track of that difference, and when we can, we'll pay that back to you, and we'll pay it back at interest. And I had no idea what would happen. And Monday morning, 100% of the employees showed up for work, and we continued on in that way. And it took a number of years, but we eventually paid back 100% of those deferred wages. And we have continued with a very, very transparent and open relationship every year since. And it's made a marked difference in our company. So yes, that disaster led to something that was pretty significant in our company.
Well, and that disaster led to a wonderful culture. Congratulated over and over again for being transparent, for adopting those very effective communication practices decades ago, whereas Todd mentioned earlier, a lot of manufacturers have yet to get their heads around that this is an imperative. And we certainly know what the younger generations, they require a lot of information exchange. They're used to getting things very readily and from a lot of different fronts. So well done. It's always a great story to listen to.
It is a great story. I appreciate you sharing that because I imagine, Lou, that a lot of people listening to this probably have a similar story. You know, Denny, you said something in the telling of your story that I want to just pick at a little bit, and I would actually ask for both Lou and you to comment on it. You said the phrase, the evil phrase, I thought we were all on the same page. And I imagine there's a lot of organizations that think they are on the same page with their team and they believe that they are on the same page, but they're really not. I mean, what do you have to do? What steps do you have to take to confirm that? That's probably a very common tale.
How do you confirm it? That's a difficult end of it. Like a lot of things, once you believe that the open and the transparency is there, and you're always telling your stories, and you're always talking about where the company is going and aligning to your strategic initiatives in that, it's the feedbacks and the conversations. In our case, we're in a business that it's very cyclical. We can go up by 30% and down by 30% in terms of production. And we have put out in our weekly communication, which is employee kiosks out on the shop floor, our backlog information. And the employees see that. And there's really no question when we're slowing down, they can see that it's slowing down. And we talk about it. We talk about a lot of things in the stand-up meetings or the shift meetings in that. But I think when you have effective communications and you're getting that, one of the things that changes, almost every company has a once-a-month meeting or sometimes it's once a quarter. And if you're not having effective communications, those meetings are really focused on what we did last month or last quarter. If you're having effective communication, the whole tone of those meetings change to they already know everything that's happened and why it's happened. And the tone is what's going to happen next month or next quarter. And it's a real transition that takes place. So I think that's probably one way to tell whether you are actually in sync with your employees.
Well, and Todd, we've talked with other guests as well, and I've shared that adage that if you aren't sure that your message has been received, you truly haven't communicated. And unfortunately, a lot of organizations do assume that just because they've put material on a bulletin board or they have shared it in that quarterly meeting that people are listening and consuming that and really understanding that information, and that's not the case. So as Denny just noted, that weekly flow of information that we drive to that shop floor and make it available to them on those touchscreen kiosks is a very effective means of communicating. And then we do measure it. So we provide our clients with those click and dwell reports, those usage reports to show that, yes, people are reading this information. They are consuming it. It's a very unique position for our company and real positive for our clients.
All right. Well, let's talk more about those production metrics. Denny, you contended that things changed for your organization when you became more open and transparent. So let's talk about these production metrics. We're contending that effective communication in the workplace can move the KPIs. But frankly, before you do that, you got to share the KPIs. So talk to us about the actual effect that you witnessed when you began sharing these production metrics.
Well, when you're sharing metrics, all of us historically have shared graphs they put up on the wall and say once a month or once a week, and all it does is gather dust on these metrics. The frontline employees are interested in what happened yesterday, what happened today, give me something that I can relate to. And they're also very much interested in metrics that they can control. And some of the big metrics that the companies focus on, they can't see the line of sight from their performance to that big metric. So to really get them involved in it, you have to bring it down to their area. And I'll give you an example of one that made a big difference for us. We were sharing a lot of different metrics, but in this area where we're pouring iron into molds and there's a certain alloy we have to get into, and if that's not done properly, we scrap that entire ladle. Now, we do this 8 times a minute, 175 times a week, and, you know, it's 750 times a month. And from my standpoint, quite a distance from that, the fact that we were missing 20 of those out of a month, that wasn't a big difference. But when that was focused and we talked to the frontline employees, they said, wow, these are just disastrous on us. It ruins our day when it happens. And we said, okay, and started paying attention to them. And we broke down, well, what is it that's happening in this case? And there are, you know, you do your five whys and go back and forth, and you keep track of this. And they felt like they had a real input into this. We paid attention to them, and we changed a number of different things. And we gradually went from 20 to 10 times a month to 5 times a month, to the fact that we can go months and months without a single having to pour that ladle of iron into the scrap bin as opposed into good molds. So it really, you bring metrics down to the shop floor and communicate them on a very, very recent basis, then it can make a difference.
That's a great example of you can't manage what you don't measure. So a great example, you started to measure those MEG failures and the change came about. I also love the example that I know has occurred within your company, and that you started to measure why shipments were late and transform the thinking, in that it used to be just blamed on the shipping crew all the time as to why things were shipped late. And now you measure and communicate regularly around all those different reasons. It might be engineering. It might be a vendor's problem. But again, opening that line of communication, opening that awareness that there are a lot of other impacts around late shipments. I know that has made a difference in your operation, and you've got wonderful performance there again. So those are just great examples of being able to manage what you measure and being really forward-thinking in what you should be sharing by way of performance metrics.
Yeah, no, that's staggering. A quick comment that I'd love for you to talk about, Denny. I worry there are some managers out there that use data, use metrics like this to browbeat and punish lower performing people versus using them as teaching opportunities and shining a light on where things can be improved. What's your counsel to management to be sure that they're using the transparency of sharing these metrics in a positive teaching way?
There's a couple things here. First off, I am a real fan of the OEE metric, the overall equipment effectiveness. And that really measures much more so the managers as opposed to the individual employee. There's so many things that go wrong that are out of the control of the employee. And yes, the employee has to make 28 an hour or whatever that metric is. But so often in a manufacturing plant, the hoist doesn't work or the quality from the previous department isn't there. And so the employee is not able to perform where they want to perform. So by moving the metrics up to a overall equipment effectiveness metric, you are no longer focusing on the employee, but you're focusing on the throughput of the product and the efficiency of the whole plant. And that, I think, is a much, much better way to do it.
And as you know, Denny, our friend Dean Spitzer, who's a performance measurement thought leader or former performance measurement thought leader for IBM Corporation, talks in his book, Transforming Performance Measurement, about it's not the metrics so much. It's not whatever those numbers are. It's the conversations that take place around those metrics that are really going to drive the change and drive the improvement in performance. And again, PDP's approach using both the contextual news and information sharing as well as the metrics does open up those conversations. And that's great insight on your part to have, you know, put that kind of tool set in place.
Yeah, no kidding. And that's a great point, Lou. So Denny, we're final discussion topic here. I don't know if you checked out episode 5 of the series, but we dove into some research that revealed that there's a lot of management and leaders very uncomfortable communicating with those shop floor employees and struggle with that. So I would love for you, if you don't mind, to share some advice and counsel and some things to think about as these leaders recognize the value of effective communication with that shop floor.
Sure. One of the things, and I read lots of magazines when I'm traveling on airplanes, and I'm traveling on airplanes a lot. And the current issue of MIT's Strategy and Business magazine had an interesting article about communication, and I think it's relevant in this end of it. And they provided, there's nothing surprising in it, but they provided the research behind it. And it really says that there's two things employees are expecting in communication. From their direct boss, they are most receptive to communication that is about how I'm doing the task and how I can do the task better. But if somebody, their boss's boss or the boss's boss, comes in and interacts with them and talks about, you could do this better by doing this, they are very resentful of that. What they want from the boss's boss is, how do they fit in the organization? What is it that they're doing? How did that extra effort last week turn out to be really great for this customer? Where is the vision of the company? That's somewhat abstract from them, those bosses. And so many of the leaders are promoted from within, and they really have to change their mode of communication. They no longer have to be the expert on the details. And in fact, I am a real fan of the idea of a throwaway question. You already know the answer to this, but you go out on the shop floor and you ask employees something, how come this goes on? And let the employee be the expert rather than you. And it's amazing. Within a minute or two, you're having a real dialogue. They're telling you something that you had no idea about. And it's an opportunity for you to interact with them and say how valuable they are in the company. So it's changing entirely as you move through different positions in the company, how you approach and communicate with other employees. It's difficult, but you have to do it.
Well, what a great insight. And I hope that the people that listen to this series and are listening to this series really take that to heart, that they don't need to do anything other than to convey that vision in order to engage those shop floor employees. It's a great, great point. It certainly would help to cut through that fear that we talked about in the last episode that many manufacturing leaders have about having to communicate with the shop floors.
Danny, that's all the time we have for today. Before we let you go, how can folks contact you should they have questions, and where can they learn more about the Dotson Company?
Todd, they can learn more about the Dotson Company by going to Dotson.com or contacting me directly at Denny, D-E-N-N-Y, at Dotson.com. Thanks, Todd.
All right. Denny Dotson, the chairman and former CEO of the Dotson Company. Denny, great to have you. Thanks again for making time to join us.
You're welcome.
All right. Lou and I will return in just a moment. She and I will share some final thoughts as we conclude our special series. We'll be right back. All right, Todd and Lou back with you. Wow, Lou, what a great conversation with Denny Dotson. As you said at the top of the show, it was going to be a great conversation and coming full circle. What a great chat with him.
It absolutely was. And just delighted that he was able to share some of his incredible insights. And I hope our listeners got a lot out of that.
Well, I bet they did. And let me just say, we're coming to close on our series here, Lou, and it's been a real pleasure to do this with you. I got a lot out of the entire series, and I'm grateful for your leadership on this. Let's run through. I thought our initial conversation, understanding all the pain points, obviously was an important conversation to set the table about what people probably don't realize is happening to them because of poor communication in the workplace.
Sure. You know, absolutely. With the challenges that manufacturers are experiencing with retaining their talent and managing across multiple generations and such, it's a really critical time to begin to focus on our communication practices. How do we do that well across lots of different groups of people with a lot of different communication preferences and such? So I think it was just a great, great time to be offering up this information.
No doubt about it. Episode 2 shared the ROI of effective communication. But Lou, if you were paying attention and listening to the entire series, that rang very true through virtually every conversation we had.
It is true, because you're through effective communication, you can really drive performance improvements. Your KPIs will show that. You'll stop wasting time that is being used to manage the rumor mill or knock down the rumor mill and correct poor miscommunication and such. There's just so many places where communication can affect you positively or negatively. So the ROI is a strong point across the board. Absolutely.
No doubt about it. In episode 3, where we talked about the shift from process to people, I had to think hard about that. And that was a very impactful segment, I thought, as well.
You know, we are in a time when younger generations are going to require that employers begin to focus on the quality of the workplace. And, you know, while process will always be important, you have to make people a process as well and make that be a focus. And I just thought the points there were really insightful.
Yeah. And I think my favorite episode was episode 4. We talked about how all of this gets back time. And that's something I think a lot of people, when they think about focusing on internal communications, they don't realize how significant that's going to be when they get back time.
They don't realize how much time is being wasted. And if you get a handle on practicing effective communications on a regular basis, you get a framework and a discipline and a cadence to it. You get people aligned to strategy much more quickly. You've got focus. People aren't just running in a lot of different directions. So I think that is absolutely a key point. And that is something that we have to try to enlighten, again, the senior leaders that we speak to, that they are wasting a lot of time and their production could be so much better if they communicated effectively.
No doubt about it. Episode 5, where I had a pleasure to chat with Tom Cutler, and where he shared some of the results of his survey research. There was some very interesting conversation that came out of that, some very interesting information about how people are beginning to be willing to outsource communications.
Yeah. So having a third-party provider like PDP manage your employee communications is clearly becoming more and more appealing to manufacturers across the board. It was certainly a timely survey that Tom's firm had conducted, and what a fascinating outcome that the number one fear of manufacturing leaders is their need to communicate with shop floor employees. So we definitely appreciated having him as an absolutely special guest in the entire series. It was great timing.
Yep. And then, of course, our chat today with Denny Dotson about moving those KPIs, as we said at the top of the show, very impactful conversation as well.
Yep. And absolutely proof positive, without a doubt, proof positive that effective communications in the workplace can truly impact your bottom line. And that's really the point of this entire series.
No doubt. All right. Well, I'm afraid to say that's all the time we have for today. And sadly, this concludes our special edition series. Lou, it has been a real pleasure to partner with you on this. Thanks for your leadership on it and for making this happen.
Well, it is my pleasure. And thank you for your work and participation as well. It's been truly fun and rewarding to work with you on the series, Todd.
Well, the pleasure's been mine, but more importantly, I think we served and helped a lot of people. So that's what this is all about. So Lou, as we close here, where can people reach you? Should they have questions, where can they get more information about effective communication in the workplace?
Well, they can always look us up online. Our web address is pdpsolutions.com. That's pdpsolutions.com. Or they can email info@pdpsolutions.com or call us on our toll-free number, 866-737-4894.
Now, and I also understand that there's a book coming about this.
There absolutely is. The book is Effective Communication in the Workplace. It will be available very, very soon. If anyone is interested, then email us at info@pdpsolutions and request a copy, or look for it on our website as well.
All right. Look forward to that. All right. Well, Lou, that concludes our special edition series, Effective Communication in the Workplace. On behalf of my co-host, Louise Dickmeyer, I am Todd Schnick. Thank you for listening, and so long.